Please take your Bibles this evening and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 30, continue on with our series of living by faith. This evening we're going to look at Jericho. Jericho. You would, if you're able to please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read one passage of Scripture here for our key verse this evening, Hebrews 11 and verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your Word. Help me to preach what you've laid in my heart this evening. Bless those who are here, and may they heed your Word. In your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Living by faith, Jericho. I've been to Jericho. Been there. Guess what? Guess what? It ain't there anymore. Well, what was left of the ancient city? It's not there anymore. Them walls are gone. They're gone, which is truly fulfilled of God's Word. Now, there is a city there now, but the walls of that ancient city, they're gone. There's a hill that's left from the ancient city. The reason they know it was there, they can find artifacts, of course, that were there. And they can find indentions where the walls used to be. And what I find interesting about that, a lot of these ancient cities you find in the Middle East and other countries in the world, there's, even though it may have been thousands of years ago, there's still parts of their walls of their cities and their homes left. Y'all, there's not even the foundations of the walls left there. Again, there's the ruts where they used to be. I just think that's awesome. I really do. Further proof of God's Word. The last time we were in this study of the hall of faith, we finished up with the Hebrew people passing on dry ground to the parting of the Red Sea. Today, we will fast forward in their history to after the death of Moses. Then we find the leadership of the Israelites, the Hebrew people, under Joshua. And while they were conquering the Promised Land, I would like everyone to turn to Joshua chapter 6 this evening. Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 21. Joshua 6, verses 1 through 21, begin reading in verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. And ye shall compass the city, and ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him and his arm pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the Lord, after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day, and they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. My first point this evening is, they heard the Lord. They heard the Lord. I love the story in the fact that, number one, God told them to do the impossible. God told them to do the impossible. God commanded them to go and take back the land that was theirs. Now, God had led Abraham to the promised land and said, "This is yours. This will be where I will establish my people with you." When Abraham was there, 400 and about 60, almost 500 years before this event, all right? In that 500 years since Abraham, remember, they had done gone to Egypt and lived there, and even though that was not God's plan for them to do such, to remain there, remember, they went there because of the famine in the land and because that Joseph was next in power to Pharaoh during that famine. And that was God taking care of them. But they should have gone back when the famine was over, but they didn't. You know, a lot of times, even today, when natural disasters happen, people will move because of that natural disaster, and because they get comfortable where they are, they just live there for the rest of their lives. I never will forget when Hurricane Katrina hit South Louisiana, all these people are exiting South Louisiana, especially around the New Orleans area. I never forget when we lived around Magnolia, there was a whole bunch of people that came up from that area. And when, you know, the waters receded from the flood there in New Orleans, some didn't go back. I never forget a year after that, there was a guy that came in, he was from Thibodeau. Don't know why he didn't come back to Thibodeau. But anyway, he said, "Well, we had to move away from down there. We just decided to stay up here. You know, just whatever." Really and truly, God had given him that land already. Now, even though the Canaanites were already in there, had they stayed there, they'd have moved them all out, pushed them out of the way. But no, they began to multiply greatly in Egypt. And then, because of fear that they'd overtake them, the Egyptians made them slaves for over 450 years. Well, Then God brought him out of there, brought him back to the promised land. Then something happened. You see, they sent in spies. Remember that? They sent in spies. Even though God said, this is yours, you can take it. Well, no, let's send in these spies to check out the land. Because, yeah, God said to do this, but, you know, let's go check it out for ourselves. So, they go in and they come back and all of them said, no, except two. Who were the two? Caleb and Joshua. They said, yeah, there's giants in the land, but it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's just perfect, perfect for us to have. Don't you remember the huge grape cluster they brought back? It was huge. Some people said, I don't believe that can happen. I've seen pictures of some. I don't know if I've seen a Charlotte before. Grape clusters can get as big as the Bible describes. Of having to bear it between two men on a pole. It can get huge. He said it was perfect, and it is perfect for God's people. It's a highly desired land. All their neighbors around them want the land, and all of them killed. Right. Two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, we could take it. The rest of them said, no, no, we'll surely die. Well, remember, the people said, no, we can't go in. We'll perish. Well, God made them wonder for 40 years. Well, that generation died off. They refused to be obedient to him. Except Caleb and Joshua. Because they believed the Lord. So now Joshua is leading the people. Moses is dead and gone. And they're trying to conquer the Canaan land, the promised land, the Holy Land, the land of Israel. And they come up to Jericho. Jericho was well known for being impenetrable. Once they closed the gates of the city, nobody could get in and nobody could get out. It said that during that time the walls were so thick that two men in chariots could pass each other on the wall. Y'all, that's thick. There was a, you know, I don't even know if the catapult was even around back then, but that would have been pretty thick for big old boulders hitting the wall. So, you've got people in the city like, ha ha, you're not getting in. You're not getting in. We got you. And I'm sure they had heard about the Israelites taking over the land. They're like, oh no, you ain't getting our city. No one's ever been able to do it once we get it all shut up. And so, God said, I'm going to give you that city. God was having them do the impossible. Take a city that was impenetrable. And on top of that, to do it with a method that was unorthodox. What does that mean? He'd have them do it with a way that didn't make any kind of military sense. Now, there's been military strategists and scientists who have examined this battle for years and have never been able to figure it out. Well, that's because they're taking God out of the equation. Because we know, and the Bible teaches that with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God told them to be quiet. Can you just imagine? I can't. I'm a talker. Y'all know that. Can you imagine for 6 days, men and women not saying a word? I see the laughs. I hear the laughs. Men and women, okay? I would say, well, there must not be any women around. Well, I've been around enough men too, okay? Amen. I tell you, God told him to be quiet. Don't say a word. Now, why would God do this? Well, number one, this would allow them to focus on the work and the will of the Lord. Everyone, please turn to Psalm 46 and verse 10. We'll see why God said this. Psalm 46 and verse 10, the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. Do you know what that word "be still" is? It's not just as simple as a father or a mother getting the training, "Hey, you be still." It's much more than that. It's like, quit moving and get quiet. Why? Why would God say, "Be still"? Why? To know that He is God. And I have, in my own personal experience, in harmonization with this and other things in the Bible, that if you just get quiet with God, you can focus greatly on Him, and He can focus greatly on you. There's a reason why when Elijah was running from old Jezebel, he was hiding in the mountains. And God was speaking to him. Don't you remember there was thunder? God wasn't in the thunder. There was an earthquake, and there was wind, and there was fire, and all these other noises. But God was not in all those loud things, and God could have been. But how was He there? In that still, that means very quiet, hardly moving, and it says small voice. Elijah had to be still and calm to hear the Lord. There's a lot of people that, you know, that practice in their religions that you have to get up and run around and move and holler and all that stuff. That doesn't harmonize with "be still and know that I am God." You want to be able to hear the Lord and His Word and His Holy Spirit, you've got to get quiet. You've got to get to a point where you're listening very hard and attentive. Because when you get still and you get quiet, it forces you to pay attention. You say, "Well, Brother Daniel, I'm ADHD. That don't work on me." Well, it can if you try, believe it or not. And also, by them being quiet, they would see how God would fulfill His Word. My last point this evening is they obeyed the Lord. They heard the Word and then they obeyed the Lord. God told them to march around the entire city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. And every day they would march around that city. They weren't to say a word. And really after they were done, not say a word either. And I didn't think about it. I have a shofar in my office. That's a ram's horn I brought back from Israel. And them seven priests that had those trumpets, that's what they had with those ram's horns, those shofars. They would have blown while they marched around the city of Jericho. And they blew them, as they went before the Ark of the Covenant, that mercy seat, as they led the army and walked around Jericho once for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. Of course, seven is symbolic of being complete, the completion of God and His Word and everything that He says would happen, His promises. But this is so unorthodox. It doesn't make any sense. People try to say, "Well, you know, them marching around for that time and that many people would have caused the earth to just kind of shake away and it would easily fall at the least little vibration." No, I don't think so. Because you still had these people that were up on the walls guarding the city. That weight would have made them fall down before this happened. You know, there have been many people through the years, and they always will. I don't know why. People always try to outsmart God and dare them. I never forget this story here a few years ago. I just heard the story. If Cameron were here, he'd really like this, and Zach would too. Several years ago, there was a professor in college that came in and said, "There's no God." He stands up on his desk and says, "In fact, I dare God to knock me off this table." And this Marine veteran gets up and cold cocks him. Right off the desk. He said, "What was that for?" He said, "God sent me." Yeah, it was. Oh, goodness. So, yeah, you've got idiots like that who dare God to do something. They were pretty much saying, you can't take us. You know, the Titanic people who built it, they said, "Not even God can sink this boat." That's what they said. "Not even God can sink this boat." On their first voyage, hello, down she went. Unorthodox. Be quiet. Don't even try to attack the wall. Just march around. But on that seventh day at the last time, on that seventh time around, Joshua told the people to shout, because God was going to make the walls come tumbling down and they would take the city. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd have just been itching to say something. I've been quiet for 7 days straight. I got bottled up energy. Yeah. Not only were they ready to say something, they were ready to yell and shout something and then take the city of all the energy they had stored up in their bodies. Yeah. Yeah. It's like someone getting cabin fever. You know? And y'all know this. When I had my tonsils taken out, I just couldn't stand it. Just couldn't stand it. And I thought I could teach that Wednesday night. And I knew I'd messed up in the middle of that. Yeah. Yeah, and y'all knew it too. You saw my face that night. I just couldn't help it. How that bottled up in me. I had to get it out. Well, see, that was another reason God told them to be quiet during all that time. But when they shouted, the walls came tumbling down. And they took the city. Some military strategist said that probably of the arrogance of the people there in Jericho, that they weren't even worried about a battle. Wasn't even worried about a battle. They probably were not even armed at all, except for the small guards that would have had around the wall and maybe a few army ready to go, but the rest of the people who were ready to fight weren't even worried. Don't you know the sound of the walls hitting that ground was loud? And it shook the ground. And then you've got all this army swarming in. Now that's the thing. When the walls came tumbling down, they were completely vulnerable. Here's why. They weren't just attacking on one side of the city. They were attacking from everywhere around the city. Because remember, they had encircled the city. And that was it. That was it. Now, there's another story that we don't have time to go to this evening. But do you remember God's commandment toward them? You kill everybody in there except Rahab and her family. We'll get to them the next time we're here. But don't, and you kill pretty much every living thing. and don't you save anything else either, except these things, and they go to the treasure of the Lord. Well, there was a man by the name of Achan. Achan got a little greedy. He went, he just got a little greedy. And he took some things he shouldn't have. And he buried them in the tent of his camp. Well, because of one man, the entire nation suffered. And then Josh was like, Lord, what's going on? What's happening? He said, well, someone didn't obey me. Well, come to find out, they had a little men's meeting, pretty much. And it come to find out that Achan was the one that was the problem. And because of his sin, he and all his family were killed. Now, y'all, that's a big responsibility for we men, all right? Now, you women too, but we men are the spiritual leaders of our homes. And when we, out of our own personal decisions, make what we call a small mistake, it affects everybody. Everybody involved. So don't think that there's no small sin. Because it's sin is sin in God's eyes. But what we can take from the faith of Jericho, because remember, all these are examples of faith. God told them to do something that didn't make sense. It didn't make any sense. But God doesn't ask for us to accept, to say, hey, you know, this doesn't make sense, God. No, He wants us to say, yes, Lord, I will do this. And there's sometimes God has led me to do something that it didn't make any sense to me, but I said, I know that you've asked me to do this and you're leading me to do this. I'm going to do it because you said so. And guess what? It worked out perfectly. But I've been in other situations where I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't make any sense. And guess what? It just fell apart. You see, that's why He said, be still and know that I'm God. Because why? I will be exalted, lifted up high, above the heathen, I will be exalted among the earth. They knew that day before they died that God existed because they knew that the Hebrew people believed in one God. His name was Jehovah. He was the reason that the walls fell down and that they killed them all that day. He was also further proof to the rest of the people in the land. Don't mess with God's people. And that's even true even today. Now, Israel is still lost and needs to be saved, but they're still God's people. God keeps His promise with them even though they don't with Him. You don't mess with God's people. Well, let me tell you how much further that goes. Don't mess with God's church either. There are some people they've either had or going to have a horrible death one day. Because if they've messed with God's church. And brother and sister, you better be right with the Lord. Because you don't want to be on God's bad side and messing with His people and His children. But it's called living by faith and being obedient to God, no matter what. As we've seen throughout all this series of living by faith, every example was as long as you're obedient to God, He takes care of you. As long as you have faith in the Lord, no matter what, you're all right. You say, well, what about this situation? This situation, if you are saved by the grace of God, which is the only way you can be, He win in the end. Yeah, it's sad to hear of saints who've gone on to be with the Lord. But y'all, they're much better off than we are. They really are. But these, all of these examples of that are heroes of faith, they are the examples that we can live by. They've shown to us that all you have to do is obey God. That's it. All you got to do is obey God. It's as simple as that. But we make it complicated. What parent doesn't want their children to obey them? Okay? God wants us, we, His children, to obey Him so that He can be glorified through His children. Boy, when the son or daughter of the mom and daddy obeys them without question and does them without asking what to do and does the right thing, woo, that makes mom and daddy so, so proud. But when they disobey them, and when they do things that bring them to shame, oh, it's miserable for mom and daddy because they're ashamed or embarrassed of their children. Well, how do you think God feels? How do you think God feels when we are disobedient and when we do things that bring Him shame? How do you think God feels when we obey Him? He is honored. And He is pleased. And He's proud. So if you're here this evening and you're lost, you'll never bring God glory in your life until the day that you're saved. Because at that moment, when you ask Jesus into your heart, God is glorified, and you're then called His child from now until eternity. And if you're already His child here this evening and you're not living right for the Lord, God is not happy with you. In fact, He's very embarrassed and very ashamed of you. And I don't know about you, but I want to win the smile of God in the end. So my brother and my sister this evening, make sure that you're winning the smile of God and that He is happy and approves of your life. Rufus doesn't have a word of invitation. We're going to have an a cappella, and that's okay. But as Brother Mike is coming, I want you to think about this evening. Is your heart right with the Lord? There may be some things that go on behind scenes that people don't know about. But the Lord knows. So my prayer is this evening that each and every one of us will make sure that our heart is right with God. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to be here this evening. Thank You for Your Word. And thank You for Jesus most of all. Lord, I ask that You would forgive me of my many faults and failures before You. And Lord, I am not worthy to be called Your son. And I thank You so much that You gave Your life and live today for me. For those who are here this evening that they're lost, Lord, help them realize that they're lost and that they need to be saved this evening. For those that are saved, but Lord, they're not living right for You, Lord, convict their hearts they might get right with You and draw closer to You. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. What shall we sing, brother?